You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Halaiva. It's time for In the Garden, on the Farm.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its management, staff, or underwriters.
Aloha, and welcome to In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. We're your hosts, Paul and Robin, and on today's show, we'll delve underground into the fascinating world of mushrooms and learn how to fruit some good ideas into being. But first, we'd like to let you know that this KKCR program is made possible by listeners like you, in partnership with our fine sponsors.
Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe in Hanalei is proud to support KKCR and its Ohana, offering organic groceries and produce, a cafe featuring fresh salad bar, hot meals and soups, fresh-made smoothies, and baked goods. Located in the heart of Hanalei, Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe, 826-0089.
Kauai Marine and More, located in Old Kapa'a Town, is proud to underwrite this KKCR program. Kauai Marine and More features Honda garden and lawn equipment and also Echo power equipment. 823-0556.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building island koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored designs and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Thanks again to our great underwriters. Thanks again to all the listeners, the supporters of this station, all the great programmers. We're so proud to be joining a great Ohana here, and we are here once again with In the Garden on the Farm, and I'm joined, as always, by my dear friend, Robin.
Aloha.
How are you this fine day?
Oh, just wonderful. I really like that little rain we got in the middle of the night. It sure has dried out. I know I find myself... they're complaining that it's raining too much or complaining that it's not raining enough. I guess those are the things we have to worry about.
Well, there are so many microclimates here on the islands, and as we know, moist conditions favor the fruiting bodies of the mushrooms. So hopefully after some good discussion today, we'll be inspired to go out into the fields and forests of our beautiful islands and discover some of the magic beings that are the fruit of the mushrooms that lay largely under the soil. We'll get to a great discussion about that coming up in this hour. Right now we're going to go to our celestial session as we look to the heavens above for inspiration on planting and other activities that might be best done based on those influences of the heavenly bodies, the celestial influences. And we will start, as we do, with the Hawaiian moon phase. Today's moon phase is brought to you by the 2014 Ke Ala Oka Mahina calendar, a publication of Hui Maoli Ola and Kamehameha Schools. And that calendar is available online. It's a great flash-enabled calendar, beautiful thing, and gives you some good recommendations and great, just a great visual experience. Today's Hawaiian moon phase is La'au Pau. And La'au Pau rose, will rise, rather, on Kauai tonight at 11:01 p.m. She'll reach her transit, her highest point in the sky, at 5:18 a.m. tomorrow morning. And she will set at 11:39 tomorrow, Thursday. 73% of the moon's beautiful face will be illuminated. And we have the last quarter moon coming up on Friday at 4:08 p.m. La'au Pau is the 20th night in the Hawaiian lunar month, and as we will remember the Lao moons that occur shortly after the full moon are good for gathering and then administering native plant medicines. And Lao Pao is the ideal moon for actually the administration of those medicines, and refers to plants, and Lao is a word that describes plants generally, but also the woody parts of plants. And sweet potatoes, melons, and gourds are recommended for planting today. Bananas will be hard and woody potentially if planted today. We've been doing some transplanting of bananas or readying them for transplant. So I do hope that we don't get hard and woody bananas.
That doesn't sound so tasty.
But we will see how that goes. And that's the thing with the Hawaiian moon phases is, one, take recommendations into account if possible, and two, notate or make notation of whether or not those influences actually have a direct effect. So for bananas, I will be planting a banana, a rare banana, tomorrow morning when the influence of Lao Pao is still in effect. And so we'll have to look into the future and see if we get woody bananas.
And we'll come up with some recipes for woody bananas. Well, I love looking into the celestial spheres, and especially today, this exciting show all about mushrooms. Some people feel that the spores of mushrooms arrived here from space. So who knows really what's floating in as we speak. Either way, in the biodynamic look at things, today through Friday, that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the moon's in Pisces, a water sign, making it a good time to work with our leaf plants. And while the energies of the plants are up in the plants as the ascending moon phase is happening here, my recommendation would be to do things like cut back basils that are in flower, do some pruning on those leafy plants to encourage more leaf growth. Saturday and Sunday, the moon will be in Aries, a fire sign, making it a good time to work with fruiting plants. And once again, pruning being a good activities to be doing during the ascending moon. So we might look at pruning some of our fruit trees and shrubs. And Monday, Tuesday next, the moon will be in Taurus, an earth sign, making it a good time to work with our root plants. And as I did not get to that pruning of the taro leaves that I thought I would on the last root day, I'm certainly marking my calendar to make that happen on these upcoming days in order to most benefit my plants. And it's not that I feel like I do it on the wrong time, but I certainly care so much about those plants. I want to give them all the benevolent energy I can. So timing it sometimes can be just the trick.
Just the ticket. And lest I forget, at the later part of the show, during the announcements section, you mentioned of a good day to work with fruiting plants on Saturday. We do have a third Saturday work party with a focus on the party part. And then, yes, there's also some work to be done at the Kalihiwai Food Forest. Certainly pruning back of our nitrogen-fixing trees needs to occur. We've done a lot of planting, but maybe even some of our fruit trees are ready for a little bit of pruning. And if you want more information, check us out on Facebook under Kauai Food Forest, or you can give a call to 652-4118 for the third Saturday work party. I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the later part of the show.
Well, either way, it seems like while you're listening to us, maybe you want to sharpen up your pruners a little bit for the upcoming week.
Truly that. And note, too, that there are many diseases that can be spread from our pruning tools, so we want to be careful to sterilize them as we can. Notable is our banana collection at the food forest, and there are different diseases that can be spread, and we would be well served to be sterilizing our tools before moving on to the next plant. It's easier said than done, but that really is best management practice.
Sure. How do you sterilize your pruners? I generally use rubbing alcohol.
Well, as far as bananas go, I'm using a bit larger tools, so we keep a 5-gallon bucket handy if we think that we're working with plants that could be infected with banana bunchytop virus. And so in the 5-gallon bucket, we have a strong dilution of chlorine bleach, and we leave it in there for about 5 minutes. And it seems to do the trick.
Good. So.
Next, we will move on to notable news. And we have a few stories for you, fresh off the presses from yesterday's Garden Island. Kauai resort owner sues to block nearby dairy farm. And I'm going to read right out of the article here from the Garden Island. Progress on Hawaii dairy farm should cease until developers prove it won't negatively affect the surrounding environment, said the lawsuit filed Thursday by Kauai Loa Development in Circuit Court in Lihue. Kauai Loa owners, Kauai Loa owns the Grand Hyatt Kauai Resort and Spa and the Poipu Bay Golf Course, which happens to be the nearest neighboring landowner less than 3 miles away from the farm, which is just beginning grading and grubbing, developing that farm. Hawaii Dairy Farms wants to place 1,800 milking cows on 582 acres. The farm's wastewater treatment unit and its effluent ponds pose a potential health risk to employees and guests, endangered species, and the natural environment, Kauai Loa said. Farm spokesperson Amy Hennessy said that the farm is a model for sustainability and environmental quality that makes productive use of important agricultural lands. It followed County and State Department of Agriculture and Health regulatory review processes that ensure the plans meet or exceed requirements, Hennessy said. We believe this suit is utterly without merit. The nuisance claim is wholly premature as the dairy has not yet been built. And Kauai Loa is seeking an environmental assessment, which apparently was bypassed during this process. And it seems that here in Hawaii's, now I'm off script of the story, but in my opinion, it seems so often that when we have these large development projects or business projects, that there is a tendency for the big businesses to skip the environmental assessment, just sort of taking it on faith that everything's going to be okay. Well, as we are learning, we do have an extraordinarily fragile environment here, and of course, the values and conditions by which humans enjoy the environment is an important consideration as well. So seems, in my opinion, it would be worthwhile to do an environmental assessment. And a great thing that somebody in our community with sort of the muscle to bring suit is requiring in this case for an environmental assessment to be done. The area in question is the Mahaulapu coastline, which is a very special place, rich in cultural history, rich in environmental values and native species, endangered species, and really deserves our highest kokua.
I agree. Good news.
Indeed. And you've got a couple of news stories for us as well.
Sure, sure. On the Kauai ticket, I'd like to let everyone know that there will be a public hearing at the County Planning Commission meeting room on Monday coming up, July 21st. Good to get there around 9 a.m., although the meeting starts at 9:30, and it's about saving the mango tree at the Kilauea Center. So people from Kilauea Town know well the stone buildings where businesses, yoga shops, the fish market, and the post office, the United States Post Office, there's a big open field that is in the process of development plans by the Hunt Group, and there is an old and very special mango tree that essentially would get cut down for them to be able to build their parking lot. And we are all concerned about the tree. It's meaningful on lots of different levels, not only habitat for our native bats as a food source, but also for its cultural and spiritual value to people in Kilauea who've grown up around that tree. And if you've got anything to say, I really do think this could be just the most beautiful opportunity that instead of a a parking lot taking over the space where a tree would be, that a tree could actually get a parking lot moved. I think we have a potential here to make a little history. If you want more information on this meeting and the kinds of testimony that you should be bringing, you can call up the County Planning Commission at 241-4050. But once again, that meeting will be held next Monday, July 21st at 9 a.m. And if you've got a feeling for that tree, now is the chance to use your voice to help us save the tree.
What a great time of year for this to be coming up, with mangoes hitting their prime and that value, one of the many values of an ancient tree like that. And I don't know if that particular tree is fruiting, but the air is alive with the beautiful fragrance of mangoes. And I think I discern a little on my palate right now. We were gorging on mangoes earlier. And thanks to the ancient trees for all the things they do for us.
And all that they've lived through. And you actually gave me a great idea. Maybe I should bring a giant bowl of mangoes to the meeting.
Couldn't be wrong. And then a final story?
Sure. In line with our topic today of mushrooms and their value, I did some reading about a mycofiltration biotechnology project, which is basically the use of intentionally cultivated networks of fungal mycelium to facilitate water quality improvements in engineered ecosystems. So basically, storm runoff is what this particular research is about, and often when large amounts of water run off, there's huge bacteria counts. And in particularly in the Puget Sound area in Seattle, where the researcher, the great Paul Stamets of notable household nameness as a mushroom guy, has been actually researching this for many years, and the project is now moving into the development stage. And it's really helpful to fish farmers who are off the coast, because storm runoff often has such high coliform counts, is what they call it. That's bacteria in the water, and that does include E. coli. And this low-cost, low-tech filtration system for storm runoff is extremely effective in removing the E. coli, as the fungus actually consumes bacteria and also excretes antibacterial metabolites. So pretty much we're talking about sandbags with wood chips or straw inoculated with specific strains of mushrooms, and the water just simply runs through them. You put them in the drainage channels where the water runs, and when it comes out the other end, the bacteria counts are super low compared to how they went in. And I think it's just another one of those great innovations that when we start to put our minds towards the rational treatment of our environment, are going to continue to come up. And the show is just chock-a-block full with ideas just like this. If you want more information about that particular study, or in general, I'd like to just feature the Fungi Perfecti website for our listeners, and that's FungiPerfecti.com. And it's just a wealth of information. Not only are there tons of products like mushroom kits and other tools for mushroom cultivation, but there's also just many, many articles on the vast areas of research that Paul Stamets has been working on for pretty much over 40 years. Mm. Fantastic.
Very cool. And that technology of which you have reported seems like it would pair just ideally with this plant that we've been hearing more and more about on Kauai, the kanaf plant, which is a hibiscus family relative, and it is a source of fiber, and we have a kanaf product developer who's been on island for a few months at least, and I know that transforming storm runoff and that sort of thing is one of the main uses for filtration is this plant. So how great if we could have a locally grown business where we were providing both the substrate as well as culturing the mycelium to do stormwater cleaning, like you've described.
Indeed.
Make it all in-house. Be super. So this is In the Garden on the Farm on Kauai Community Radio with your hosts, Paul and Robin. And we are very happy to be joined in studio by a special guest today. And so it is my great pleasure to be able to introduce to you our guest, Aaron Aniwalt. Aaron is a lifelong mushroom cultivator and owner of Kauai Medicinals. Father, cook, musician, fisherman, farmer, Aaron came home to the islands at 19 years old back in 1979, and he's kept his heart here ever since. Aaron's currently studying medicinal mushrooms, health benefits, and health food business models, as well as uses of mycelium and fungus in many other applications. Aaron, thanks for taking the time to join us here in the studio. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Paul.
So today we are focusing in on mushrooms, and I think we all have a bit of experience with mushrooms. When I just talk about our listeners or just sort of general lay people introduced probably initially to edible mushrooms, we certainly have had the experience or relationship with trying to limit molds and fungi that grow unwanted in our closets or our kitchen. And then there are so many other kinds of mushrooms that we just enjoy when we walk through the forests and fields. But a lot of their values and their utility is really, there's a renaissance of understanding how valuable they really are. And so it's great to speak with somebody who's had a lifelong relationship with mushrooms and as far as growing them intentionally rather than unintentionally in the back of my closet, great to have you be able to share your experience with us.
It's my pleasure.
So what we're going to do is we're going to focus in on one of our regular segments that comes about once a month. We do focus in on the medicine chest. And as I said, mushrooms have a plethora of uses, and one of them is for their medicinal value. Here in the modern day world, we are beset by so many environmental toxins and so many things that depress the immune system, and we're finding that mushrooms are some of our best allies. And as a formulator and purveyor of medicinal mushroom formulations, it's great to have your input on this topic.
Well, sure, Paul. They've been using medicinal mushrooms for their curative qualities since ancient Egypt and in the Orient as well. Thousands of years of human knowledge has gone into the cultivation and application of these substances, and it's really only just coming into Western consciousness in recent years. We've seen a tremendous growth of the business side of it, and also just people's awareness and use of these things, because so many people now are fighting, you know, immune deficiency and cancer and stuff like that, and they've had tremendous effect for people. I personally have witnessed some tremendous success stories, so yeah.
Can you tell us about some of the particular mushroom species that you formulate with that would be interesting to focus in on?
Well, our focus is on, you know, the ones that, if you know anything about mushrooms, you've heard about reishi mushroom, cordyceps mushroom, the polypores, turkey tail, and the maitake. These all are fairly well known, and that's they've had the most research done on them, so that's what we're working with primarily. I would tell people, you know, if you have a particular condition that you're wanting to address, the simplest thing to do is just to, you know, let's say you're fighting cancer. So just Google cancer and medicinal mushrooms, and you're going to find enough information to keep you reading for a week or two. And there's been all kinds of studies, and, you know, it's pretty easy to source a lot of information about it now because so many people have been interested. That would be my most practical advice to someone who wants to know which mushroom to use for which application. Anything, hypertension, whatever it is, you know, you'll find that there's a mushroom that addresses that.
It really is so vast, the different properties and just the amount of variety of mushrooms out there, I think is, we've really even just scratched the surface. I know myself, I've used reishi mushroom. Really does have a positive effect on my well-being. I feel like it calms me. I feel boosted by it. It's subtle, and I didn't have any major health concerns when I started taking it. I was more taking it as an to enhance things.
Yeah, well, that's what I found is, you know, people who are sensitive or who have, you know, devoted themselves to having a clean lifestyle tend to get more of a, you know, noticeable reaction from them. I mean, you know, if you're still living, you know, kind of, you know, drinking and doing whatever you do, then you might not notice an effect from them immediately, but it also depends on people's chemistry, you know, it's interesting.
Of course, I was reading about cordyceps that now athletes are using it to kind of like enhance performance, that it plays into our stamina.
Yeah, well, cordyceps are, one of their actions is to help the body to process and utilize oxygen. So it helps the cells to take the available oxygen and use it in endurance exercise. It's a great story online about the Chinese Olympic team being pulled for doping, and because they were winning all these gold medals, and come to find the coach finally said, well, actually we've been using cordyceps, and so that was, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
But those kind of natural products are allowable.
Well, yeah, it's just a supplement. That's the wonderful thing about mushrooms. You know, if you, it's just, they're a food. So, you know, there aren't any side effects. This is what I tell people, like, well, you know, especially if you start reading about cordyceps. Cordyceps are a bizarre mushroom. They grow out of the mummified bodies of insects. And I mean, you know, go on YouTube and look at Richard Attenborough's little piece on cordyceps. It's wonderful. And every single insect in the jungle has a particular cordyceps mushroom that attacks it. So if a insect is becoming too big, if their population is getting too big, they become susceptible to the cordyceps mushroom coming in and taming them back. So
are there several species of cordyceps that are used for medicinal purposes, or is it a particular species that's collected?
The one that we use is called a cordyceps militaris. In nature, they fruit above 3,000 feet in the Himalayas out of the mummified bodies of ghost caterpillars. So, naturally, you can't cultivate those in a laboratory or on a farm. But what we do is we grow the mycelium on petri dishes of rice. The mycelium has the same medicinal property as the fruit body, and so we're just harvesting the mycelium and using that.
How interesting that the cordyceps mushroom enhances the body's ability to access and utilize oxygen, and it's from a high elevation place where people or animals that go to that high elevation would need that kind of medicine.
Exactly. Very interesting how the people traditionally discovered it, too. They noticed that the goats that they were herding at those elevations were more virile and more just physically fit than goats at other elevations, and they started trying to figure out what it was, and they realized that they were eating these little mushrooms that were growing in the grass, and so they started experimenting with them, found out that they had all these wonderful benefits.
Sure, and for our listeners, mycelium is the underground part of the mushroom and is ever-present in lots of the land, and we'll talk about that more as the show continues. But only when conditions are perfect does that organism decide to fruit or make fruiting bodies, which are what we know as the visible mushrooms above the surface. Mm-hmm. So there's that connection between the underground mycelium. It's very interesting that it has exactly the same properties in the fruiting body.
But it is the actual plant. The mycelium is the plant.
Is
the plant. In fact, the largest plant on the planet's surface is a mycelium bed in the Midwest, and it's miles and miles. I'd have to look it up, but it's the biggest single individual life form on the planet's surface.
Wow. Bigger than the great whales, huh?
Much.
Incredible. And is it true across the board that mycelium of a given mushroom has the same medicinal qualities, or is that specific only to cordyceps and other types of mushrooms?
I'm not quite sure if I understood, but
if I understood correctly, you described that because you can't bring cordyceps to fruit, you simply use the mycelium because that has the same.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
effect. Is that true for all mushrooms?
That is true. Yeah. Now, you know, with say the reishi, which one can fruit in on a farm, we'll do a mix of the mycelium and the fruit body because they have different strengths and potencies. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's an Asian mushroom?
Yes.
And
although it grows in the Northwest, you can harvest reishi on the California, Oregon, Washington coastline. Yes. And there's a lot of different species of those particular group of mushrooms. You know,
they're like what we call the wood ear type. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Have seen it?
They look like a conch, kind of, you know, they're hard. They're a polypore, so they don't have gills. They have a kind of a hard, spongy underside. They look like a shelf, kind of, and they're red on top. They're quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And is this a mushroom that can be encouraged to take hold in someone's landscape garden?
Now, as far as, you know, whether we could do that out here, for example, the jury's still out on that. I don't know if they're going to let us bring those in or not. We were looking into that for a while, but I don't know if that's going to happen yet.
Right, right.
But yes, you could cultivate reishi.
So what you're referring to is that there are regulations, as there are with all organisms of every kingdom, there are certain restrictions on what sorts of organisms can be imported into the Hawaiian Islands, and it seems as if mushrooms have elicit particular concern from the authorities that they might, put our ecosystems out of balance or something, but there's a lot of restrictions about what can be imported here.
And as you said, Paul, we live on a fragile environment here, and, you know, in theory, I approve of that practice. I think it should be honored, and, you know, people should think about that always here. But then again, everything that came here was brought here pretty much, or floated here, so.
Sure. Well, my personal opinion on that is there are certainly lots of terrible things that are making their way through the gates, the pearly gates of Kauai, and I would tend to think that something that's so beneficial, as we'll find out through our conversation today, to our environment, for lots of reasons, definitely outweighs, you know, just bringing things that we know are really bad for our island, which arrive here every single day, unfortunately.
Well, that's another discussion, isn't it?
It is indeed. Well, when it comes to medicinal mushrooms, I couldn't help but read about this one called agaricon.
Agaricon is our new favorite.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The name itself is just reminiscent of Celtic tradition, or it feels like it's got some power. Can you talk about that one at all?
Agaricon are a wonderful mushroom. They're very rare. They're also of the polypore sort of conch style, like the reishi. They grow much slower. They grow in the ancient forest. They only grow on old growth trees. They can live for decades and decades and decades. And when we find one, generally we leave them alone unless their food source is finishing. You know, since they grow on the decaying bodies of these old growth trees, eventually the food source is finishing. And then at that point, we'll take them and make core samples and work on generating that particular mushroom and keeping it going in the lab. So
is that one a difficult one to cultivate?
Yeah, it is. But not on the, once again, on the petri dishes, it goes crazy. So a lot of them do that. Once you get the mycelium running, it runs. Agaricon is the one that Paul Stamets, who is also my personal guru when it comes to mushrooms, I'll just come out and say he cured his mom of stage 4 cancer using agaricon and, of course, conventional medicine. And this is what I tell everyone, you know, when they talk to me about this stuff, is that as an adjunct therapy, working with another you know, treatment, they can be very beneficial. If you're getting chemo and you take large doses of turkey tail, you can be sure that you're going to be doing a lot better than the people who are just doing chemo. It helps your cells regenerate. It helps them be strong. It fights off the negative effects of the chemotherapy and works as an adjunct therapy. A guy came to me with stage 4 throat cancer that the doctors were treating just because that's what they do. And we got him on a heavy dose of turkey tails, and 4 months later he was cancer free, and he's still in remission years later on. They were all didn't quite know the doctors didn't quite know how to explain that. So yeah, it's if I had cancer, I'd be using Agaricon for sure, among other things, of course.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. But is it the case that even for a healthy person, that taking a regular supply of medicinal mushrooms is a good way of prevention?
Oh, absolutely. And just for the benefits you'll get from them, for stamina, for your own cleansing purposes and strengthening your immune system, for mental clarity, there's a lot of stuff.
Well, gosh, I'd like to thank you and let everyone know we're talking with Aaron Arawalt of Kauai Medicinals and his wonderful mushroom herbal blends. Blends and products are available here on the island at Hoku Foods in Kapa'a and the Healthy Hut in Kilauea. They're called Kauai Medicinals.
And you're listening to In the Garden on the Farm. We've got about 20 minutes left to the show. We want to continue our focus on mushrooms, and we are wanting to speak about the social evolution that is occurring as a result of our awareness of mushrooms, their value to our consciousness, the changing consciousness that we know that we need to grasp hold of at this time. Hopefully it's not the end day. If it's the end days of some things, it's the beginning days of others. And mushrooms, and through the work of people like Paul Stamets, are expanding our consciousness toward that new direction that's going to heal the planet. And we realize that we have these amazing allies in the fungal kingdom that are showing us the way.
Yes, and some of them can really shift your consciousness. But that's for another show.
So here in the Hawaiian Islands, we do have some native species we have to thank as well. Some great researchers out of the University of Hawaii, Hilo, and Dr. Don Hemes, and also his collaborator, Dr. Dennis Desjardin, who's out of California. They've got a superb book. It's been out for a few years now. It's called Mushrooms of Hawaii, an Identification Guide. Fantastic resource. And it is paired as well with a website that is called Fungi of the Hawaiian Islands. Has a bit of a difficult web address, so if you do an internet search, Fungi of the Hawaiian Islands, you will find their website, great photographs as well, and descriptions of the mushrooms. It's an expanding site. But great base information. You know, there aren't that many mushrooms in the Hawaiian Islands in either naturalized or native as compared with other parts of the world, but we do have some pretty exciting mushrooms out there. From the research that they've done, 14 families, 83 genera, and 310 species have been identified. 17% of those are thought to be native to the Hawaiian Islands, and of those natives, 88% are thought to be endemic or found nowhere else on Earth. This high level of endemism is similar to the flowering plants in that respect, which actually tops over 90% endemism. And lots of these restricted to particular places. Beautiful mushrooms, again, great photographs in that Mushrooms of Hawaii book, which you can find at the public library system and also through your booksellers. There are some great edible mushrooms, too, here in the Hawaiian Islands that can be found, and we want to, of course, give an extreme caution that no mushrooms should be collected for consumption of any kind, or even really to touch mushrooms, till you know what you're working with, because mushrooms, while they can be have life-giving and life-saving properties, they can also take life. And we have some of the most poisonous mushrooms found on the planet that have found a home in our fields and forests. And we need to be very careful not to consume mushrooms without being triple checked. And I heard even that one of the most dangerous, or people who are most likely to be poisoned by mushrooms, are people who have a great understanding of mushrooms, because it's very easy on a collecting trip for one or two bad mushrooms to get into a bag of mushrooms that have been collected. And so the presidents of various mycological societies have died of mushroom poisoning. So it's really not to be taken lightly. But all that being said, there are some mushrooms that are extraordinarily distinctive. And one of them would be the pepeo mushroom, which we can find in our gardens and in our forests. It is a saprophytic mushroom and is growing out of dead, decaying woody matter. And it's like a pig's ear is another common name for it, the pepeo. And is delightful sautéed up. It's kind of like bacon. And another one that I've had experience with is the sulfur shelf mushroom, which grows up in our beautiful Kokee State Park. And very striking and distinctive orange shelf mushroom that is delectable. And it's very much like chicken when it's sautéed. Mm-hmm. And so, again, don't take my word for the description, but I can say those, along with another few mushrooms I've eaten on the Nepali coast, maybe not out of my better judgment, but because somebody who had eaten them before said, you can eat that one. And so I did. There's a few more, including the morel mushroom, can maybe rarely to occasionally be found as well, which is one of the world's most highly prized edible mushrooms.
Incredible.
Cool.
Yeah. So as far as edible, there's also, of course, the psychedelic mushrooms, which have various other considerations, but consciousness expansion by psychoactive mushrooms has been an important aspect to indigenous cultures for thousands of years as well. And the tradition is carried out here in the Hawaiian Islands by certain people looking to expand their experience. So, again,
admittedly, the only mushrooms I've eaten on Kauai were gathered in the pastures.
Yes, and special considerations there as well. Just a plethora of amazing mushrooms doing their work on our consciousness, doing their work culinarily and in other ways.
Interestingly, they're doing studies now about the use of psilocybe for people who have cluster headaches and migraines, and having tremendous success curing people of debilitating cluster headache migraine conditions through the use of psilocybe. There's a group called MAPS that's been doing a lot of work on that. I've recommended that to a couple of people who've had remarkable success with that as well. So, have a lot of different benefits.
Yes. What a great organization, the MAPS organization, which focuses on the medicinal value of psychoactive constituents. And certainly an alternative medicine realm that isn't going to get support from the status quo, and we need people who are looking at these alternative therapies for us.
And the great thing about them is they are actually bridging the gap with the status quo and getting government recommendation, funding, acknowledgement, and they're really the only scientists that are getting the rights to do some of the studies, helping people with PTSD. That's a whole other subject too. So,
Yeah. Well, as far as the land goes, the mycelium that's existing, like in the giant colony in the Midwest you spoke of, and in any environment, really, so long as the land hasn't been degraded with chemicals to such a degree where nothing's really living in there. But in a healthy forest, there's miles of mycelium in just a thimbleful of soil.
I remember reading somewhere, Robin, that every life form on the planet's surface has a relationship with fungus and mycelium. Nothing would grow without it breaking down the nutrients.
Precisely. And in some of Paul Stamen's writing, I've read that when you're walking through that forest, the mycelium completely knows you're there. They feel you. They sense you. There's an intelligence. He calls it actually the underground internet. They're the subterranean internet. They're so connected, and there's so much life there that is what gives the land its life, which we love to talk about here on the show. And in some ways, I just want to recommend his book called Mycelium Running, How Mushrooms Can Save the World. It will really absolutely just kind of blow your mind as far as what's happening and some of the innovations that he's been making. And it's basically the use of mycelial membranes for a rational approach to ecological health. So these are living things that are helping, and everything from mycofiltration, which we talked about earlier, to mycoforestry, mycogardening. Mycoremediation is fairly well known for its ability, the mushroom's ability to basically clean up oil spills of hydrocarbon chemicals, petrochemicals. And then also mycopesticides. That's actually one of the latest things. I'm very excited that Paul Stamen has figured out how to use a fungus to pretty much eradicate carpenter ants. And this is amazing because right now the only technology that's out there, really harsh poisons and tenting your house. And it's really cool that somebody's out there making these innovations to what we can do to improve our lives that isn't harmful to the environment.
Indeed. And essential as well. And with just a few minutes left in the show, we're going to go into Secrets of the Soil Builders. And one of the most important things from a gardening and farming perspective is the mycorrhizal.
I just want to thank you guys, Paul and Robin, for having me on the show. Very interesting. I'll be listening to you guys.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us.
Aaron, mahalo. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, so just to lay it down a little bit about mycorrhizae are the kinds of funguses that are closely associated with plant roots. So under natural conditions, plants live in close association with these fungi. The fungi colonize the plant roots and extend the root system into the surrounding soil. You can have, like I just said, you can have several miles of mycorrhizal filaments around vigorously growing plants. And in turn, the mycorrhizal fungi increase the absorbing area of the roots by 10 to 100 times. They're able to absorb and transfer all 15 major macro and micronutrients into the plants from soil way far away from where the roots of the plants would get naturally if they weren't living in association with the mycorrhiza. The mycorrhiza fungi also suppress disease and pathogens by forming a physical barrier to the root. So they literally coat the root and things can't get there to start some of the worst pathogens we know of. The mycorrhiza fungi excrete antibiotics that have been effective in killing Phytophthora and Fusarium, which are two really bad guys in our gardening and farming world. They improve the soil structure. Their filaments actually produce humic acid, which, if you'll remember from a discussion we had some months ago, humic acid being very important to vigorous plant growth. Mycorrhizal fungi, are harmed by excessive tillage, over-fertilization, erosion, and bare soil. So they're not going to hang around if we don't make an environment that's really conducive for them to be living in. And one last thing is Paul Stamen's says they're the internet of the soil, forming complex networks that have the intelligence to help the soil recover from catastrophes. And unfortunately, sometimes humans are the catastrophes.
Too often.
That pretty much rounds out my...
So as far as these, the mycorrhizal fungi go, they certainly exist within a natural environment, but sometimes we may choose to inoculate our soil, to inoculate the plants that we're putting in the soil with these mycorrhizal symbionts, if you will, to enhance their ability to colonize and do all of their magic, like you've just described to us. And I know that's a practice that we both employ. There are standalone products that can be used to do that inoculation. Sometimes also soil bag mixes will include mycorrhiza. There's always a question here in the Hawaiian Islands of, well, if those bales of potting soil came on the boat under the hot tropical sun, how alive is that mycorrhiza? But mushrooms, again, they survive. They can literally survive travel through space and re-entry into Earth's atmosphere. So of any biology that could be purported to be within a soil mix, mycorrhizal fungi has probably got a better shot than most.
Sure, going to hang in there, especially because they're actually dormant until they come into contact with growing plant roots. So in the brick of soil, you know, the temperatures probably get pretty extreme. But from what I understand, they only get activated into growth and duty, so to say, when they come into contact with growing plant roots. And so that's the crux of what's known as mycoforestry. And there's plenty of research, nothing new there, that inoculating the roots of trees in reforestation efforts has a huge effect on how well they'll grow, particularly in droughty environments that are harder. And when you see the pictures of the trees dug up with these incredible webs of roots versus ones that had not been inoculated,
it's dramatic.
It's dramatic.
It is. There's some great information about growing your own arbuscular mycorrhiza formulations at University of Hawaii's College of Tropical Agriculture, or CTAR, and other great information from the college related to mycorrhiza and the importance of them in native plantings as well as forestry, like Robin said, as well as agricultural uses. So I would encourage folks interested in that to go to College of Tropical Agriculture of UH and get that information. We're going to move into a couple of brief announcements before we have to bid farewell to you today. We'll start out with a Korean natural farming indigenous microorganism workshop, which may include some focus on mushrooms as well.
Certainly funguses.
Yes. Yeah. So this is coming up this Saturday and Sunday, July 19th and 20th, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. It's located at the Permaculture Kauai'i Farm in Molawa'a. This is a two-day hands-on workshop training for making on-farm produced inputs, including local and Hawaii-sourced materials. You'll learn how to make fertilizers, dry and liquid forms, soil and compost inoculants, foliar sprays for every stage of plant growth, plant hormone extracts, herbal medicinal extracts, and pest control inputs. For more information about this workshop, contact Ray Maki, 634-5412. And if you're a member of the Hawaii Farmers Union, you get a 15% discount on this workshop. Some great classes coming up, workshops and classes coming up at Kauai'i Community College as well, starting off tomorrow. Chainsaw Safety and Field Maintenance class with Stephen Connolly from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., followed by an Intro to Basic Tree Felling on Friday, with the same timing. This located at the KCC Farm Outdoor Farm Classroom. Learn the basics to tree felling, the plan, site inspection, site prep, approaching the tree, exiting the tree, the cut, the hinge, and liming and bucking. Online registration is available. You can web search Kauai OSET, O-C-E-T, or you can call their office at 245-8318. Some other great classes coming up at KCC Introduction to Aquaponics System workshop with our friend Bernie Sow. Saturdays from August 2nd to August 30th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The classes will run at Kauai Community College, Osette and Farm. And again, or actually the number there, 245-8351. Online registration for that as well. And then some great B classes with our buddy Jimmy, a fellow programmer here at KKCR. He's got a hive split and swarm recovery class coming up Saturdays, July 26th and August 2nd. A honey harvesting and wax processing class on August 16th. And again, for registration, 245-8318, or visit the new online registration system at OSET. If you'd like to have your ag-related event or announcement shared on air, please email it a couple of weeks in advance to inthegardenonthefarm@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you there. If you want to hear previous broadcasts of the show, go to kkcr.org, click the audio archive tab at the top of the page. And we'd like to thank the other members of the In the Garden on the Farm team, our engineer Jack, phone tech Mac, webmaster Laura Christine, and our station manager Dean. Mahalo for making this show possible each and every week.
This has been In the Garden on the Farm with your hosts, Robin and Paul. We'd like to thank our guests on the show today, Aaron Arawalt. If you have any questions about the Kauai medicinal products, please give them a call at 808-640-2899. And please tune in again next week for more stimulating conversation on our relationship with the life of the land that gives us life. Aloha.
Aloha.
For the long